Yeah, called. So, shall we start with the roll call?
Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones.
Here.
Bruce Sutter.
Right here.
John Gasher.
Present.
Sharon Tobias.
Present.
Dan Crosby.
Here.
And Andy Rich is absent. Also with us is legal counsel Andrew Ramos, general manager Tyler Mayo, administrative operations manager Lee Schmeeds, Craig Letts, who is our one of ad hoc committee leaders, and myself, Kathy Powell, accounts manager.
Thank you. We normally start with the Pledge of Allegiance, but we didn't. I skipped right over that. Is there a flag or?
There's no flag. We can search for a flag.
Here, I got one.
Hang on. We're getting one.
Thank you.
Ta-da.
Wait.
Everybody
They
see
can't
it?
see it, so just a
Oh,
sec.
sure.
To.
We know what it looks like, though.
Screen.
Hasn't changed in years.
I know.
We need a new star added. All right, thank you.
You.
I got one or two removed, but.
Okay. So I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands.
indivisible.
Thank you. So the people in the room, I don't know if you're talking over each other, but you're hard to hear.
Yeah, the microphone pick up every little thing. Where's the microphone? It's up in the owl.
Okay.
All right, we'll be better.
Thank you. The first item is public comment. Is there anybody who would like to, any shareholder who would like to ask a question or make a statement that's not on the agenda?
Yeah, this is Dan. I got a question for our legal counsel. So there's a new Brown Act that went into effect in the last month or so. I think it has to do with public access to both physical meetings, Zoom meetings, and hybrids. Do you know what that says, and does it affect us at all?
Dan, that's a great question. I am very familiar with it. I've been helping clients wrangle with all of the changes coming out of COVID. The good news is there have been no changes to the Open Meeting Act, which is the sort of Brown Act equivalent that mutual water companies operate under, like Blue Lake Springs. So no impact on Blue Lake Springs mutual water meetings at this time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Anybody else for a public comment? All right, hearing none, let's move on to the consent calendar. These items, don't need to be discussed unless somebody would like to remove an item from the consent calendar for later discussion. So I need a motion to move to accept the consent calendar.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second. Yeah.
We vote, right? Sorry, Andrew. You think I'd know by now. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't hear anyone in the room, but. Okay, so the consent calendar has been approved. The next item is the committee reports.
Okay, so for my first report, we had recently we've been working with Craig going over financials, and he brought to our attention about the Silicon Valley Bank basically collapsing, and wanted me to bring to the attention to the board our bank account balances and whatever existing is insured. So here's the document showing what our current bank account balances are and what their FDIC insured amount are. The only one that's going to be different is the JP Morgan money market, which is SIPC insured, and that states what it is insured for below, which I believe is $500,000 and then another $250,000 protection for cash in the account for securities. So if there's no questions for this, we'll move to the next item.
It is a little discussion. Are we concerned about exceeding the insurance amount? I mean, are we going to split that up, or are we trusting who we're with?
Currently, I would say we trust who we're with. We've had Bank of America in the free account with them since close to the beginning of the company. Yes, of course, if we see something that's about to happen, we will take action to move the money around or pull it out of those banks. But as of now, with the banks we are holding, I don't see any issues, and I haven't heard of anything happening or going to happen to these banks.
But I would put this to Craig or anybody else who's of the financial acumen that I am not. Aren't Bank of America, U.S. Bank, and J.P. Morgan too big to fail?
U.S. Bank, we're the only one we're exposed on, I believe, when I look at it, is Bank of America. I think the other ones are all covered by either SPIC or we're under the 250.
The FDIC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Bank of America goes through that pressure test, they do.
Yeah, so. I mean,
it's not, it's a low, I mean, as soon as I say this, they'll probably crash, but it's a low probability they're going to crash. They don't do the venture capital like Silicon Valley did.
Yeah, they're not exposed to a segment, so I think it's pretty low risk. But anything can happen.
Yeah.
I think it was an overreaction, even what happened, but people overreacted and it happened, right? So.
Yep. So the three accounts that are at B of A, so the way the rules read, it's $250,000 per account per bank.
No.
But if the accounts have different names on them.
There's different types of accounts.
What?
Different types of accounts. So if you had a checking account, and then if you had a money market account, those would be different types. But if there's three checking accounts, that, you know, you'd only get the one covered.
Yeah. So that are those three different type of accounts, and are the names that are on them identical? That would protect us.
It's going to go to the entity. So even if the names are different, it's all going to come back to the water company, I think.
I read the rules yesterday, and it says you could have different names on it.
Well, it's probably from an individual standpoint if you're married, I'm guessing. Because if you're married, then you can get $500,000 if one account's in your name and another one's in your wife's name, or if it's a joint account.
So are the names on all three accounts the same?
Yes. When we went and signed up for the accounts and changed the names when I became general manager, they notified me they go off of the tax ID number. And we couldn't take, say, my name and Bill Cover's name and make two different accounts. And like Craig saying, because we're not married, we're not not together again.
What type of accounts are they? Are they all checking? Are they all savings?
One savings, two checking.
One savings and two checking.
Okay.
So are the savings is... Is that one protected to 250, and then the checking are protected to 250, or?
I would, from what I read, if it's just a basic savings account and a checking account, just from reading the FDIC stuff recently, that's not different enough. But B of A would be the one to answer the question.
Yeah, we're exposed. I look at it is we're exposed about a little bit over $150,000, but I think it's a low risk at Bank America. The only thing you could do is say open up a checking account at Wells Fargo. Then you'd have another bank to manage. So I guess we should look and see how. I don't think it's unreasonable because Bank America is pressure tested. And you would have the same risk with Wells Fargo as you do Bank of America. So, I mean, how long do we expect it to be above 250? We could answer that question. And then if the board was really concerned about Bank of America failing, then we would have to open an account with Wells Fargo. So, I mean, that's kind of the options. Right now, I don't see, this is not considered an unreasonable risk in my mind to leave it in Bank of America. Because we're not really, you know, it's not like 80% of our assets. I mean, it's a small percentage base, even though it's $150,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it is our shareholders' money, and if we lost it, we'd have to report to them, so.
Yeah, but it's not unreal. I mean, all businesses undertake reasonable risks.
Yep. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have accounts at SVB that thought, oh, it's no way is it going to go under.
No, I don't agree with that, but SVB was like a venture cap. They did a lot of venture capital stuff, so everybody knew it was a high-risk bank that worked there.
They
accepted the profits, and they didn't want to accept the losses, so that's kind of like...
I understand. This is still a risk that I don't know we should take.
So sometime this year, we'll be meeting with the Finance and Rates Committee, and this will be a subject we try to tackle within that committee, and we'll try to come back to the board with a decision depending on what the committee has seen and what they think about it.
I think that's a great solution. Craig, are you on board with that?
Say again?
Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
I mean, keep in mind, we are generating cash every year, so we're just going to be adding to our cash balances. But
right.
Where does most of the excess go? Does that go to J.P. Morgan at the end of the day?
Sorry, do that again, Craig.
What? Where does most of the excess go that's not designated to one of the four designated accounts? Does that wind up going to J.P. Morgan?
That's up to the rates.
It's up to the board to decide or the treasurer. Typically, though, yes, we transfer most of the money, the excess money, to Edward Jones or to J.P. Morgan, where there's plenty of room for the insurance.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's an unreasonable position we got.
But you're right, we're going to be generating more income, and the money has to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Right.
Bills?
Okay, so we'll leave it to the Finance and Rates Committee to take a look at our options and what they recommend we do.
So moving to the next item is the drought. The state is showing that Calaveras County is not affected by drought in any portion of the county anymore. We are above our average rainfall, and they're saying that the ground is on the saturated side, definitely not on the dry side. So over the next month or two, we'll continue to watch and evaluate the state of the drought. And in May or at the May meeting, we'll move to decide to come from stage two drought down to stage one. And also depending on what the state puts forward and CCWD. Any questions regarding the drought? And then we all know that in January late December into January, we had a weather event that caused some pretty significant damage to our infrastructure. Just reporting from the February-March weather event that we had, we didn't have any more large washouts. We do have some very small areas that will need attention as soon as the snow melts away, that the guys already have a plan to replace the rock and add some check dams in the ditch to help slow the water down and not cause as much damage if there is a high flow of water next to the pipe again.
Are you still talking about putting some kind of slurry seal over it or something like that that we talked about at the?
I still am working on getting a quote from the two people that told me they could do chip seal. One is Rolleri Excavation, the other is Cooper Engineering. We're going to do a walkthrough with me, but the snow and weather has kind of put a hold on doing the walkthrough. So I will get that number soon, and then we can see how many areas we can afford to chip seal this year, or we can just do one area to test it and see how it holds up. Any questions in regard to the weather or the chip sealing?
I'm just curious. I haven't been up in a week or so. Is enough of it melted off now where it's probably not going to be a problem if we get a rapid melt, you think? Or?
Yeah, the snow is now pretty much completely in the ditch where our pipe is just out of ditch and most of the gravel is exposed now. There's a few spots where it's still covered up, but I don't believe those are going to be an issue because typically when we have the gravel start coming out, it pops out under the snow and shows itself in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, the next thing I have is on February 17th, Vince received his T2 cert. So he is now completely certified, distribution to treatment to certification that we require and the state requires. Wes, our new employee, on March 24th, so just in a couple days, he's scheduled to take his first certification of distribution 2, which will allow him to work on any mainline pipes and make more decisions on his own. As well as beginning April 1st, we'll start our interviews for our third field operator.
Are there financial incentives for them completing those certifications?
Yes. So the financial incentives we have approved sometime last year, I believe it was. It's every cert that they go up or they receive is a dollar an hour raise and they get a $500 bonus.
All right.
Yeah, so there is some incentive for them to hurry up and get it.
Tyler, once Wes has his distribution 2, does that mean he can be on call?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it means he can go handle anything without me or Vince being present.
Great.
And so we don't have to be there. If he has to dig up a main line or work on a service box, he can do that on his own.
That's great.
And we definitely have the confidence in him to be able to do such. He is a very intelligent and hardworking individual. Awesome.
That's great news. Thank you.
Yes. Next, we had, going all the way back to August or September, when we had Simons Machinery come up and replace the internals or the internal pump assembly on one of the pumps. He was changing the seals out on the second pump and found the shaft was very close to failing. We moved forward with ordering the second assembly and having him install it. It finally showed up in January, and then he scheduled to come out the first part of February. He installed it and completed the repair. So currently we have two booster pumps at the treatment plant that have been, basically the entire guts have been replaced. The original ones were over 50 years old. So it was definitely due to be replaced and hopefully they'll last many years to come.
Yay.
Yeah.
I like right. It when the pumps work. Yeah, I think they.
Yeah, when we're running on one pump, it's scary. Because if something happens to that pump, we're at, taking water from CCWD and having to reroute it a different way.
So, I mean, I've seen this question because I just read yesterday that Sacramento Airport is open only by virtue of the fact they found a spare part on eBay to replace one of the pumps that, keeps the cylinder intact. So with our equipment this old, do we know what's out of production?
So we do have extra motors is the only other part to the pump assembly. that we would need. And we do have those in a storage shed at the treatment plant. So we can replace the motors at any point. And then the motor joins the pump housing, which is a simple Lovejoy connection. And we can pick that up at the auto parts store.
Okay.
And we do have an extra of that as well. The next thing I have is I'm still working with Calaveras County OES for the reimbursement of the damage done to the pipe or to our infrastructure back in January. I am waiting for their response. I have submitted all the paperwork and what it cost us. So we're just kind of waiting for them or the state to decide if and how much money we get.
Who was that?
Calaveras County OES, Office of Emergency Services.
Yeah. They came out and hit one of our pipes. I don't recall that.
No. There was the washout that we had on Patricia and Moran that we had.
Yeah,
We had called the state of emergency. We also had a federal state of, or I don't know if you call it federal emergency. So there were funds that were released to the state to reimburse damages that were caused by the storm.
Oh, okay, okay.
So we're trying to get our hands on some of that money because it cost us in the ballpark of $15,600 and some odd dollars.
Right. Okay, I understand.
Okay.
But we find it's found money. We get it, right?
Right. Awesome.
Yep. Good.
And that's all I have for my general manager's report.
Thank you.
So I see in the expenses that there was repair to one of the trucks. Were we in an accident?
Our past employee backed into a light pole while he was plowing and caused some damage to the truck. Correct.
Who was doing snow plowing?
What was that, Dan?
So he was doing snow plowing?
Yes. He was doing snow plowing and backed into a light pole down at White Pines Lake at the Moose Lodge.
All right, I was just curious. I saw that expense and hadn't heard what it was.
I did know about the accident. I didn't see the expense until then. But Tyler had informed me about it.
Took quite some months.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
It's not the truck repaired, so that's why you're currently seeing the new expense on there.
Okay.
Will insurance reimburse us for any of that, Tyler?
Insurance paid for nearly all of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so the next item is infrastructure and facilities.
The committee met back on February 15th, and Tyler had updated the detailed schedule of asset expenditures over the next, I think it's 40 years it runs out. The committee's been looking at that for a couple of years. And there were really no significant changes that needed to be made to that. And the first significant project we have isn't out till 2035, I believe it is. The current year projects is listed on there, or currently listed on there, around $350,000. And I think two meetings ago, Tyler had presented to the board a listing of, I think it was 15 or 20 projects, which the board had looked at, and his directive was to go back and get some more detailed cost estimates for those, which when we met in February, the snow was melting, so he was getting ready to get some people out to give us the cost estimates. And Tyler, I assume that the new snow probably mucked up that process.
Yes, you're correct. That's going to be my reportable items. We have not been able to get a contractor out to do a walkthrough because they can't see the area to do the walkthrough.
Okay. Do you think at this stage, once we get that, there's going to be enough time to get them all done, or?
Yes, and if we had to hold back on any of them, we could hold back on the cut and caps. I just want to make sure that we get the services for each lot that needs to be done, and then as well as that cross-country pipeline, the A1B project, Borough Court, basically new services for everybody. So nobody's operating off the old pipeline. If we had to hold off for the next year to do the cut and caps, that wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Okay.
So at that infrastructure meeting, we said there was three projects that should go ahead this year at the tune of, it was estimated at the time of $317,000, correct?
That was before soft costs, maybe?
Yeah, the ones you're thinking of, Dan, those are the ones with soft costs. The other were, Craig's saying, 15 projects. A lot of those are just cutting caps, which is just to dig up the old valve that's still connected to the new pipeline from the old pipeline and make a separation so we never have an issue with the old pipeline possibly leaking into our new pipe.
Yeah, so those three projects, to answer your question, Craig, were totaled out to $364,000 and plus $20,000, 20% soft costs, brought them up to about $317,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what we said the committee recommended going ahead with this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Tyler, do you want to mention that you met with Josh?
That's all in my reportable items. I was going to wait.
Okay. All right. Never mind then.
And the other thing we looked at was what our reserves are for fixed assets. And at the time of the meeting, we had approximately $1.6 million set aside for it. We do have some just general cash out there that if we needed it, would be available. And a couple of the other board designated accounts certainly could be used for fixed assets, you know, if we ever needed that. But I think everybody felt that we're adequately funded for the time being and didn't have any, you know, big concerns in that area. I think the only project that's potentially out there that's not listed on the schedule is, and it's a separate committee that handles that, is, you know, what we're going to do in the future about expanding our relationship with, you know, CCWD and having to pay another, you know, access fee, or just developing our own well. I know that's an ongoing item of discussion and nothing we need to, you know, talk about right now, I don't believe, but it's just out there that is potentially, which could be a big draw on funds that we need to be thinking about. So if there's not any questions, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Craig. Well done. The next item is the executive minutes from the January 14th, 2023. After our board meeting on the 14th, we had a executive session, and the general, most of what we discussed were personnel issues for, since Billy was leaving, about providing Vince a promotion. And that was going to be addressed during the personnel committee meeting that was going to meet. I think they met about a week later. So that is my report for the executive session.
Thank you.
And since Mr. Rich isn't here today, all personnel committee, we met for what the board wanted us to do through the executive session and made Vince an official offer. I wrote something up and offered him the position, which he gladly accepted. And that's pretty much everything that took place through that personnel committee. It was a fairly short meeting.
So my notes from the January 14th meeting, there were two action items that I showed on my notes. One was come up with ways to better compensate employees for retention. And one was come up with way to better compensate Vince.
Yeah, and that was the official offer that we made Vince. So we did that and moved forward. The changes to any benefits is still under discussion between the staff and the personnel committee.
Okay.
Good point, Stan. Thank you. All right. Next up is unfinished business with the 2022 year-end Atherton review.
Oh, is that mine?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Is that okay?
Yeah. I did read through the Atherton financial statements. They don't do an audit, they do a review. So it's a lot of people get confused on that, but they kind of come in and kick the tires kind of thing. It's not an audit. But based on my understanding of, the financials at the water company, I read through it and nothing looked out of line to me. Last year there was an issue with interest expense. It didn't get recorded. But everything, looked fine to me. There was a net loss of $68,000, on the income statement, which was fairly consistent with last year's net loss. Do keep in mind that we have about $500,000 of depreciation expense, which is non-cash, which is included in that number. So when you add that back, the cash flow we generated from operations was $430,000. That's what's driving our increase in cash year over year. Now the debt principal also, gets deducted from that at the end of the day. There's other ins and outs, but we're still cash flow positive. Which is about where I was expecting it to come out to be based on last year's results and then just monitoring what's been going on this year. That's about my comments on the Atherton financials. Now, as it relates to January and February financials, I did read through those. I don't know if management wants to call out anything. I just kind of scanned through those. I'm still, we'll be working with the company on trying to come up with a good format. I think we discussed last board meeting, we wanted to get the depreciation expense booked into, the financial statements that we look at every month because that is an expense. Let's see, there was one other thing. Oh, I think Tyler may have mentioned it, but in the past, since we bill every other month, so there's always confusion of whether it's a billing month or a non-billing month, and it, makes everybody's head spin. We started accruing every month, just unbilled receivables. So that makes that issue go away. And those accruals are reflected in these financial statements here. So hopefully that'll make it easier for everybody to understand them when they look at it on a month to month basis.
And on a quick note, the January, February financials are still only a draft until we close out last year's December financials and the Atherton review. Then we'll update the January, February financials, and those will be the true numbers. There isn't anything that's huge that'll change, but there definitely will be some changes to some numbers.
So I had a question about one of the sheets. It's sheet 35 of the packet. Could you pull that up, Kathy?
The page?
Yeah, that page. So under equity, for November, we showed we were making a profit of $260,000. And then in December, that went down to a loss of $70,000.
Probably mostly the depreciation expense that's not getting booked throughout the year that gets jammed in December. Is that right, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Good portion of it, yes.
So that's a depreciation expense. It's kind of...
And other year-end adjustments, yeah. But that's why I want to try to get that stuff booked throughout the year so it just, just makes everything hang together.
Okay.
Are there any other questions regarding the financials?
For the review?
Oh, we have to vote. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So for the Atherton review, we're looking for the approval and a vote.
So we need a motion to approve the Atherton review. Right?
Yes,
please.
I move that we approve the Atherton review.
Thank you, Dan. I'll second it.
And so we need, Oh, we have an odd amount of people. He can't vote.
I don't think you can, Sharon. I think you're for the tiebreaker.
Yeah, the president. Yeah.
Oh, I can't vote. Okay. But I can't. Can I second it or not?
I'll second.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. So I won't vote.
Yes.
Yeah. Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
John Dashner.
Yes.
And Dan Crosby.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't follow why Sharon can't vote on this item.
I thought she could only vote for if it was a tiebreaker, that the president could only vote for tiebreaker.
No, there's no limitation on that vote.
Well, then, Sharon, would you like to be second on the vote to approve the
No, I'll just vote. I'll just say yes to the vote.
Okay, so all approved. All here approved.
Yeah.
Sharon Tobias?
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you. I was confused too. I thought it was something special. So thank you, Andrew. And thank you, Kathy.
Sure thing.
So the next item on the agenda is a proposed date and time change for our future board meetings. Right?
No, first is the consultant service agreement.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I skipped right over it. Let me stop. Go for it, Tyler.
So we've been having Craig help us with our financials, and we, as the board, deemed that we wanted to hire Craig to be a consultant. So we made up an agreement. I've had Andrew and Craig both look it over, and I believe as of now everybody is okay with the contract. We're just here today to get the approval from the board to move forward with the service agreement so we can hire Craig.
I
should just add that this is my firm's standard consultant services agreement that we use for our public agency clients. I removed a couple terms that don't apply to the water company because it's not a public agency, but otherwise this is our standard form with, of course, the customization to fit the proposed deal with Craig.
Great.
So today we're looking for the approval from the board and a vote to move forward with this agreement.
Are you looking for a motion?
Yes, please.
I'd move to approve that we hire Craig according to the agreement. I'll second that motion.
Can we do a roll call? Or is there any discussion? I should have asked that first. Okay, so can we do a roll call, Kathy?
Bill Cover.
Yay.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Aye.
John Dashner.
Yes.
Yes.
Dan Crosby.
Yes.
Great. So the motion carries, or the agreement's approved. So thank you. Thank you, Craig.
Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome. It's official now, so.
I've been officially drawn in.
You've been, exactly. So. All right. So the next item on the agenda that is the date and time for our future board meetings. In order to meet people's schedules, I wanted to suggest, I have three suggestions that after talking with staff, we thought these might be compromises that we could make. The first are Wednesday afternoon meetings from 2 to 5, the third Wednesday of the month, which would, and this would enable staff to not have to work extra time on a Saturday. They could get everything ready before the board meeting, and then Thursday and Friday they could follow up with all the items after the board meeting. So a Wednesday afternoon meeting. So the third Wednesday would be like May 17th, July 19th, September 20th. Those are just some examples. The next suggestion I have is Thursday afternoon meetings. Again, the third Thursday of the month. And then the last option I'm throwing out are the third Saturday of the month at our regular time of 9 a.m. So,
were we just looking at sometime in the afternoon on the third Wednesday?
I was thinking my suggestion was 2 to 5.
2 to 5. And on the third Thursday?
2 to 5. But, you know, we can be flexible. It's what works for the board. So if people want to do it from 3 to 6 or later in the evening, that's fine too. I'm speaking on behalf of the staff. But I think we can, it would be great if we could find a time that we could all agree on that would work. So.
I like Wednesday.
I do too. It's part of the room.
Ooh.
We've got 3 Wednesdays here.
Bruce. Oh, 3 in the room. Bruce, John, and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday works for me, obviously, since I threw it out. So I can say. What about Craig or Dan or Bill? Would that work at all?
The Wednesdays you're talking about?
Yes.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, I'd rather have it on Saturdays so that I could come up and attend some meetings in person. Coming up on a Wednesday afternoon is kind of hard. But
okay, yeah. That's fair. Bill, any thoughts?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday is fine. I mean, I'll have to, you know, I'm still working full time, so I'll have to rearrange meetings. So, but Wednesday's better than Thursday.
Sharon, did you mention which Wednesday of the month?
I suggested the third Wednesday of the month.
That's the only Wednesday that works for me.
Ooh.
I thought you were retired.
So I don't need the board to move its calendar based on my schedule, but I would not be able to attend on the third Wednesdays of each month.
Oh.
Was that Andrew?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm in Truckee in the morning and Sacramento in the afternoon. My day starts at 5 and ends at 10.
Oh my gosh.
Can Zoom on the road.
I could Zoom on the road. That's right.
Get a ticket for that.
But again, you don't need to change the calendar based on my availability. I'm just letting you know that wouldn't work for me.
Is that every Wednesday or just the third Wednesday of the month?
Just the third Wednesday, yeah.
And would another Wednesday work?
Yeah, would another Wednesday
work? Yeah, like the second Wednesday?
Second Wednesday would be completely fine, yep.
There was somebody else who the third Wednesday was the only one it worked for. Was it Jeff?
Yeah, that was me, but, you know, I can do Thursday or Saturday. For sure.
We go off on Thursday.
Yeah?
We go off on
Thursday. Well, the men's club will change for us, won't they?
No.
I'm so, just saying, I can do Thursday or Saturday also. So I sure like to have Andrew here.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You need
Andrew there.
Does Thursday or Saturday work for you, Andrew?
Saturdays always work. Thursdays, it depends on which Thursday.
Well, which Thursday works for you?
The first Thursday of the month, the second Thursday typically works in the afternoon.
Right.
Third Thursday in the mornings. Sorry to do this, everyone. Fourth Thursday in the mornings.
Okay.
Sounds like Thanksgiving problem. Second Thursday, does that work for anybody?
Second or third, I think both second and third Thursday. Okay. Was it just mornings on the third?
Every other month? Yeah, Thursday is the afternoon.
Thursday in the afternoon could work.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we're talking about 6 meetings a year, so.
Yeah.
Not a whole ton of them, but it does sound like right now if we did Thursday afternoon, that seems to be working for most.
Yeah.
Dan and Bill, how is the, and Craig, sorry, another one, how is the second Thursday at 2 o'clock work.
At what time?
2 o'clock.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. So when we do the financials, we do them every 2 months, right? We get our billing cycle.
No.
So if we have, huh?
We do the financials every month. No, he's talking about.
So there's no problem having it the first week or 8 days after the first of the month. So we'll have it for the board meeting, or?
It's tough to do them the first of the month because that's when we're working on the financials.
The second. So should the meeting be the second week then, or?
Yeah, the second Thursday.
Okay. And when would this start?
2 p.m.
No. What date?
Oh, it would probably start in July.
All right,
I have an issue with the May meeting. So it's I will be in Paris, so I won't be calling in. So I don't know if we want to reschedule the May 13th meeting to be before I leave, or you want to have the meeting without me, which is totally fine. So
we want to have the meeting from Paris.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys can all come over. We'll have a good time. So, anyway, so my plan was to start this in July, but we could start it in May, and the May meeting would be, you said that, is this the second Thursday? That's what we're doing?
Yes.
So May 11th. I'd be in Rome, so I still won't be there. So.
My God.
So Thursday afternoon, I have a class through the end of May. So if we started in July, it'd be better for me.
Okay. Does that work for everybody else if we wait till July?
Yeah, we could shoot for July. It sounds good.
Okay.
I mean, that works with me. I just won't be able to most likely make the May meeting on the Saturday that it's on.
Say that again, Craig.
If we do not change the May meeting, I'm not going to be able to make it, but that's fine.
Do we?
The May meeting, I believe we want to shoot for the third Saturday, so you can make it. That was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that would work, but.
I mean, I would like to accommodate for Craig to be there because that's a big part of talking through the financials and.
So the May meeting would be the third Saturday on May 20th, right?
Correct.
Yes.
I'll be gone. Because that was just one meeting. No, that's not.
I still won't be here, but that's fine. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Although I might be able to call in. Or you guys could come to Paris. You know, it's up to you. So.
Okay.
So I think May 20th, I think. So does that work for most people for May, Andrew?
Yes.
All right. What about the rest of the board?
May 20th? Not Jeff. Jeff will have to excuse himself.
At 2 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock.
I'll be at 9.
What time, I'm sorry?
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Thanks.
You know, we can try this once in July and see if we like it. And we can always go revert back to the third Saturdays or something. Right.
Yeah, right.
So
going on the second Thursday in July.
July 13th at 2 p.m.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then are we thinking that the second Thursday is going to be it?
You would like that.
Hopefully.
I mean, at any time, any board member can say this is not working. Can we go back?
It will
Thursdays won't get Bill here. I mean, won't get Dan here. I'm sorry.
Right. Dan, are you ever up there in the summer during the week? or is it just a?
Yeah, I am up in the summer more.
So am I. So. As long as I'm done before the Thursday night dinner at the club at 5 o'clock, I'm good. You got to have your priorities.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for being so flexible. Let's give this a try. And then, you know, we'll meet on May 20th and then we'll meet again. The next board meeting after that will be July 13th. And then we can reassess. Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
Great, thank you for everyone's time. Andrew, oh wait, do we need to have this approved, vote on it? It's on the agenda that we need possible action approval.
It's probably good to have a motion approving the new calendar, yes.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
John makes the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. Kathy, can you do a roll call?
Yes.
Or a vote call.
Bill Cover?
Yes, for the change in time and date.
Jeff Jones?
Yes.
Bruce Sutter?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Sharon Tobias?
Yes.
Dan Crosby?
Yes.
And hopefully Andy can make it. So the motion carries. All right. The next item is the plumber's list. Andrew.
Thank you. So this is a follow-up item from the last board meeting talking about the water company making referrals to local licensed plumbers who are known to service residences. There was some discussion at the last meeting about the water company's policy on this, and I wanted to provide a little bit of background because this is an issue that water company spent a considerable amount of time considering in the past. And if you'd like to change the policy or refine it in some way, I think it's helpful to have some background on it. So my advice to the water company and consistent with your policies is that the water company should always avoid taking any control or responsibility for things that happen on the shareholder side of the meter. So we very carefully delineate areas of responsibility, with the water company being responsible for all that happens on its side of the meter and the customer being responsible for everything that happens on their side of the meter. One exception to that policy is providing referrals to licensed plumbers. So back during the USDA project, many of you will recall, either as shareholders or as directors at the time, that with the new main coming in, it was very important that shareholders connect to the new main in a timely manner, and holding up, putting in the new lateral and connecting could significantly impact the project. So the board and staff talked about it, and we made an exception to the general policy and created a list of licensed plumbers who could do the work to connect shareholder homes to the new main. And we did this because it was really crucial that shareholders got the work done competently and expeditiously. And we were concerned, frankly, that without referrals and a certain amount of handholding, that this wouldn't happen. And I recall that for a few shareholders, it really didn't happen without a lot of pressure. But for the most part, folks listened and got the work done on their own dime and in a timely manner. But my point is, we sort of looked at the risks and the benefits and concluded that there was some risk to the water company providing the plumber's list, but we decided that it was pretty minimal. So in California, there's this thing called negligent referral, and lawyers worry about it a lot. Doctors worry about it a lot because we're held to a certain standard of care when we refer somebody to another lawyer or to another doctor. It's really not the same level of concern or issue for the water company in thinking about making referrals to licensed plumbers. What we do to protect the water company is the licensed plumber list has a disclaimer on it saying, you know, this is your own choice. You should check out the credentials of each of these plumbers. We make no representation regarding anything about the services that they provide. And then the water company makes sure that only licensed plumbers end up on that list who are actually serving the area. And I think it's crucial that we update that list and make sure that it only references licensed plumbers with each update. But other than that, the risk of having a shareholder be unhappy with the service that they've been provided by the plumber and come back to the water company expecting some compensation or damage as a result is fairly minimal. There has been at least one instance where, and I think it happened very recently and sort of spurred this discussion, that a shareholder came back and said, you referred me to this person, he did terrible work and there's damage and you're responsible. That might happen. That might happen from a shareholder relations perspective, but, and I think Tyler can speak to this, for the most part, shareholders, I think, have been happy with providing or receiving rather a referral to a licensed plumber, knowing that, you know, they service the area. So you get more good responses than that occasional bad. And when you do get the bad response, is there legal liability attached? It's unlikely. Given that we're just referring to names of licensed plumbers with no representation that they're suitable and telling the shareholder to check them out yourselves, there really is not much risk to the water company from my perspective. So the question for the water company again, even aside from, you know, getting past the USDA project when it was really crucial to provide this list, if you want to have an ongoing practice of referring shareholders to licensed plumbers, you know, do the benefits outweigh the risks of it? And I think that the risks are fairly low. And maybe Tyler could speak to some of the benefits and the requests that you get for referrals on an occasional basis.
Yeah, we get quite a few people asking for a qualified plumber in the area, mainly because 3/4 of our community isn't living in the area, so they don't know who to call. Typically, they would only have next door or maybe ask a realtor or somebody around. But we did have an instance where we did have a non-licensed plumber install a few service lines, and they were not NSF approved. We found this out recently when they were calling about a taste complaint. So I feel it's extremely beneficial that we have a licensed plumber in there and they're installing the proper materials for these homeowners. So people aren't out there getting a bad perspective of what our water truly is. That's my take on it. I think that the list, it helps the community. And like you were saying, Andrew, that we get far more positive responses than negative ones.
I think it's a service to our customers, and so I'm generally very much for it. Let me ask one question though. If I'm a new plumber in the area and I just got my license, I just opened up shop here, how do you know that I'm in town?
That's a very good question. Typically we know. I mean, word of mouth. When Aaron Johnson was one that came to town, he started his plumbing business. We found out about him right away. He got added to the plumbers list for the USDA project. And then he also let us know when he was moving out of town. So we removed him from the list.
Yeah.
Typically we have plumbers come in and want to ask if I'm a licensed plumber, can I be added to your list?
Who did that?
Who did that is another one.
Yeah.
And we've had,
which we can't help.
A couple people come in and ask to be removed from the list because they were getting too much work.
Yeah.
So we have plumbers typically contact us to answer your question.
Yeah, I would think that the greater danger is I'm a plumber and I'm not on your list, and therefore I want to sue you because you didn't put me on your list.
Yeah, and as soon as a plumber comes in and has to be placed on it, as long as they're a licensed plumber,
yeah,
we'll give them what our rules and regulations are for installing new service lines and add them to the list. Yeah.
And generally, I'm very much in favor of it. Thank you. The furthest we could go up.
I can speak to it from a wholesale distribution point of view. You know, or it goes back to Yellow Pages days, but all of our ads said that we were wholesale only, but the homeowner would always call looking for, number one, to buy wholesale, but also looking for a recommendation. And I can tell you that in 40 years of wholesale distribution, we have given out thousands of contractors' names with the caveat that this is a licensed, bonded, insured contractor, and that's based on information from the contractor's state license board. So, you know, in the 40 years that I was doing this, we had no issues with homeowners blaming us for a bad contractor. I'm echoing Andrew that the risk is very low. As long as we're sure that they're licensed, bonded, and insured.
Very good. So, Sharon, I think this item was just for discussion at this point. I'm not sure if we pulled the plumber's list as a practice based on the issue that came up before and held it for this discussion, but the proposal is just to continue with the plumber's list and continue to update it to ensure that the plumbers are qualified and to maintain that list going forward and bring any further issues back to the board.
I think that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The plumber's list is still on the website, right, Tyler?
We currently pulled it down until this discussion happened, just in case there was a discrepancy that we shouldn't be putting it out there. We pulled it, and okay. We'll put it back up on the website probably as soon as we adjourn the meeting or tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. All right, the next item is the elections chair. So last time we met, we were lucky enough to have Jeff volunteer under duress to be the nominations chair, and I mistakenly thought that was also the elections chair. So we need an elections chair for our upcoming election. Are there any volunteers for this job, this position?
I thought it was a done deal.
Excellent. That's what I thought, too. But I want to make sure you're okay with that.
No, I'm fine with it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Sure. Easiest job that we've got.
Shall I ask if you received any nominations, any interest?
And did you receive any resumes yet?
No.
No.
Excellent.
So, refresh my memory, who's... up for re-election?
Sharon.
Sharon's the only one this year.
No. Hopefully she won't get voted out. We'll really be in trouble.
Oh, but Dan, you're next to be president.
Oh, no.
You've got all the questions. You know exactly what to do. So anyway, but I think yesterday you guys put out an email blast saying we were looking for the call for candidates. Because it did go out with the billing, right? But
I saw the email yesterday.
Yeah, since I don't get the bill, I didn't know it had gone out. So I never see our water bill. It was in your bill, apparently. So, and my husband didn't tell me that I was up for re-election. So, all right. The next item is our annual shareholder meeting time and place. So the last couple of years, we've had the meeting over Zoom, I believe.
Yes, correct. So since COVID started, we've been doing it on Zoom, and we've held it here at the office.
Right. So, and I think last year the HOA had their meeting in late June, and this year they're having it on June 3rd, right? Yes, June 3rd.
Very good work. Like,
so, do you want to lead this discussion?
Yeah, so what we're looking for, in the past, we had always had our annual shareholder meeting with the HOA, and then later they threw a dinner. As COVID kicked in, we stopped doing that, and probably a little before COVID. What we're looking for today is for us to figure out, do we want to go back to having the meeting at the lodge or whatever you would like to call it, the resort, and have the meeting with them and then either attend the lunch afterwards or dinner, depending on what they choose to have. They're going to decide, hopefully, in this next HOA meeting, I believe it's Thursday. Is their next HOA meeting, and they told me that they were going to hopefully come up with whether it's going to be a lunch or a dinner, and if we wanted to be a part of it. It's something that, because Tony has been a part of Blue Lakes for so long, he remembers and would like to bring back as well. So we're trying to see if we want to have our annual meeting would be 9 o'clock in the morning before the HOA, and typically our annual meeting is fairly short. It's going to be a report from the treasurer, a report from the president, and a report from me. And then we'll elect our candidates at that point. We'll go to a different room for that one, actually. So that's, we're looking to either do that at the lodge, or we'll do it again here and do it via Zoom. It's completely up to the board on what you guys would like to do. But we're just looking to start setting up where we want to have our annual shareholder meeting, because it will take the lodge a little bit of time to accommodate us.
That, this must be my fifth year, because I attended one of those dinners. Mm-hmm. My first dinner was jointly with the Homeowners Association, and it was a hoot. It was great fun, and, you know, it's the first time I'd ever met Tony, and, you know, I say, let's do it. Let's have a dinner.
So we can have the dinner. I'm assuming we can still have a lunch or a dinner with them. It's more or less, do we want to do that? And do we want to have our meeting that same day with them? Or do we want to hold our annual shareholder meeting as it fits us?
Just a point of information, you'll have more people show up for the board meeting there than a board meeting here, because they're coming to the lodge. And I would make a motion that we have a 9 o'clock meeting at Blue Lake Springs, and at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then join them with their regular meeting and for lunch and afterwards.
Or dinner.
Or dinner. They said they possibly bring back dinner. Yeah.
Are they bringing back the lunch for the shareholders too, like they used to? Do you know, Tyler? It used to be like hot dogs and burgers.
Right. That's what the lunch would be. The dinner, I don't believe, would be for shareholders. It's for the HOA board, our water board, and I believe staff was invited as well.
Although the HOA didn't invite.
Well, I think that my concern about the dinner was when I first got on the board, the employees for the water company and the HOA were included at the dinner. And that was really lovely. I got to know some of the employees at the water company, as well as the HOA board. After a few years, the HOA no longer, I'm going to say this incorrectly, so just bear with me. The HOA decided not to include the employees in the invitation. And so it was only board members and their spouses that were invited. And, you know, while it's fun, you know, we got to our table and the HOA board had drank all the wine, so they obviously knew they had to get there early. So, but I think I would like to see what they plan to do on their, when they have their meeting, and see if they're actually going to do a dinner. Okay. And if they're going to let us invite the employees. That's my opinion. That's just one person's opinion. So, I don't know what I'm interested what other people would like to do. And don't let me sway you one way or the other, please. So
we're not going to find out what they're going to do until Thursday.
Tony said that it could possibly be on Thursday that they decided. He didn't know 100% anyone. I talked to him today. So
I don't know how we can make decisions. We can't make a decision today on what to find out on Thursday.
No, I guess today what you would be looking for would be the date. Do we want to hold the annual shareholder meeting, like John was just saying, at 9 o'clock on the 3rd? I believe is what it was.
At the lodge. lawn.
At the lawn.
And basically, they said we would be kicked out by 10 so they could do the vote in that room as well, correct, Tyler?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. They have to start their electoral counting through their firm at 10 o'clock. And it could take a couple hours for them to sit there and count ballots, depending on how many people vote.
I certainly support inviting employees.
Well, that's definitely one that I'll have to bring up to Tony, is that whether it's a lunch or a dinner, are employees invited as well? And we can hold and we can find that out and then decide what we would like to do, if that's what everybody would like, as far as the food part, I guess to say.
Right.
But the actual meeting, if we would like to hold it there, I probably would want to let Tony know sooner than later, so he can make sure and reserve our spot and have the Zoom, the TVs, everything set up.
It sure seems like there's no doubt that we have more people.
There'll be a few more. I think we had two or three in our meeting last year. Mm-hmm. Tony told me they had 10. So it's not a huge change.
A lot of that has to do with COVID.
Correct.
Now, and particularly the lodge has changed in regards to chefs and cook and quality of food. Service level has become phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that... And with all the snow we've had, everybody will want to get out and get together.
So we can not make any decision today, and we can just say we're going to hold pending the HOA's decision on the food, and then we can decide if we want to do it that same day. Does that sound okay with everybody?
I'll withdraw my motion.
Yeah, because he did put a motion on the
floor. I withdraw my motion. It's going to be according to oil.
Mary, well done.
Whoever
is. Yes, that we can decide, but we're not going to get together.
Yeah, we'll have to call a special meeting, or I'll have to do it through emails. Yeah. Probably a special meeting to just decide where
we're going to have a decision before May 20th.
We'll have to make a decision before the next meeting.
Right. I think that's doable. Thank you, Tyler.
So it's going to be on June 3rd at 9 o'clock then? Is that the plan?
No, we're holding off on choosing a date and time until the HOA decides if they're going to have a lunch or a dinner and if staff can be invited.
But I think the actual meeting, I think the meeting will be at 9. It's just a matter of if it's in our office or at the yeah. lodge, right?
Good. Yes, very good point. You're right.
Yeah, I just think at the lodge we'll have more people to show up.
Yeah, and they do also a hybrid type where they would have plenty of seats for the people who show up in person, and then they have microphones set up front, two large TVs on either end of the room, and they basically mute everybody on Zoom until they raise their hand to ask the question.
Would they let us in on their Zoom?
Yes, all we would have to do is bring our laptop. Okay. That's it.
Right.
So then really the only question is, do we have dinner with them? If they have their employees there, or if they don't want their employees to be there, we would have dinner with our employees someplace separate?
Yeah, we'd probably set up a dinner a different time. Andy was one last year that was really pushing for that, to have some sort of lunch with the employees and the board. So that's all it really is trying to do, is just to get our staff and the board to mingle a little bit and everybody get to meet each other.
Okay. That all being said, I will be in Madrid on June 3rd, so.
Oh.
I personally think we should have it, you know, at the lodge before them, just kind of, I think that's a better setup. You know, and if the dinner's that night, so be it. If we want to do it a different night, hopefully I would make it, but don't rearrange it for me.
Okay.
So is the consensus today then that we would like to hold our meeting at the lodge at 9 a.m. on the 3rd with the HOA, but we're still pending lunch or dinner?
I think
that's
in the room. Make sure.
Okay. So I will I will reach out to Tony next week once they decide if they're having a lunch or dinner and try to make the decision for if we'll join or not. But I will also let him know that we would like to show up on the 3rd at 9 a.m. for our annual shareholder meeting. Okay.
Someone said earlier, I think we had to be out of there at 10. Is this a typical corporate annual shareholders meeting that lasts like 15 minutes and you're done?
It's typically a report, quick reports from what's happened over the year or what we're going to be doing in the next oncoming year from the president or the general manager. The treasurer gives a very small financial report on how we're doing. And then there's Q&A from the public. That's usually the one that takes up the most amount of time.
So it can be done within the hour then?
Yes, I would say we're 5 to 10 minutes on the reports and then hopefully only 30 to 45 minutes of Q&A. And I am sure at some point if we were starting to go over into the 10 o'clock time that we would be asked to stop. So I believe we can get it all in within that hour.
And we usually hold our organizational meeting minute immediately after.
Yeah. So then we'll depart into a different room and hold our organizational meeting where the board will elect its officers.
Dan's going to be president because he's not there.
We can do that in the bar.
Yeah, Dan's not there. He can be assigned anything. He can be president.
No.
Hoist the glass. Congratulations on the band.
I'm liking this. Will everybody else be able to attend on the 3rd, either via Zoom or in person?
Treasurer would be important to hear from right now.
Yep.
I won't, but I'm just staff. My daughter's graduating the night before. My baby's graduating high school.
Oh. So,
what happened?
Bill,
would you be able to attend? Yeah, I have a pretty open calendar, so right now. So. Yeah, I just need to know whatever works for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely give everybody a heads up of the date and time.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Q&A, if I remember right, a lot of the new people that have just moved up here, they ask the same questions that the last group of new people did, right, Tyler? Yeah. So we have kind of a idea of what kind of questions we're going to get.
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea.
So we just should rehearse those, the day before so we can.
Yeah. Yeah, you, Sharon, and I can sit down and talk about what we think might be asked of us.
Yeah, I think we did that once before.
We'll be more than ready.
I think I'll be jet lagged. So I don't think I get home till like June 2nd. So I'm not sure about the 3rd. I have to look at a calendar now. So maybe June 1st.
Well, if Andy's there, he can do your president's report.
Exactly. Last time I gave a report, they asked Andy all the questions. So it worked out fine.
That's
great. June 3rd. Okay. All right, let's move on. Thank you, everyone. Kathy.
Hello. So we did our first of 6 billings February, the 20th, 21st, just before the storm hit. we billed out. So the base rate, res, and the USDA is going to be $266,070. That's standard. So that'll get billed out 6 times. And then the metered water was $49.11. We also billed out our annual lot fees for the combined lots and the membership lots. That was another $1,125 for a total of $272,692.30. And I did have one lien of over about $12,500 got paid. The property sold, and so we got paid a lien that was pending.
That's great. I love that.
For me.
The next item is just the reportable items, and it's only me real quick. On the additional projects, the other two items that were on there was just for our two committees to meet, which we did, and they reported on now. So with the additional projects, as we were, or as I was stating earlier, the contractor bids are still on hold due to the snow. Hopefully, within the next couple weeks, we can set those up and I can start a walkthrough. But the contractors, as I discussed with them, they wanted to see the dirt. They wanted to see what they were going to be working on and how rocky it is before they could give me a fairly accurate bid. But with those additional projects, we did move forward some with, I met with Josh from the county. Josh is basically the man who decides what permits we need and if and when we're going to be able to do a project. He did state that we were not going to need any more engineering, that everything that we had already was good for him. So that's great. We don't have to go out and get any more extra engineering. He did give me everything I needed to do for the erosion sediment control plan. Basically, anything that's going to wash away after we move the dirt, essentially. Yes. And then what our rules will be for traffic control and plating, what we're going to need to put back in the trench. And then he also gave me our utility encroachment general conditions and the permit. So I'm working on filling out the permit information and then getting that into Josh so he can go ahead and approve it. And I have to say Josh has been extremely helpful with this process. The county, him and working with the county, as most people might not say with the county, it has been a pleasure working with him and the county so far.
Good.
So, yeah.
This is the point, but at some point, can you comment on the Forever Chemicals article?
Another quick thing. We did have the EPA required every water system in the country to test for Forever Chemicals, as we were calling them, their UCMR5s. We did that testing, and of course, to come out of that testing, we knew that there was going to be regulation. They were working on getting an MCL for this new regulation. They did release what that MCL is, but they still haven't mandated that we start doing testing periodically for it. I do feel that is the next step that's coming. I will have our state inspector come to me, and he'll give me how often we're going to need to do it and which locations I'll need to test for it at. So we are going to be testing for PFASs, basically plastics, small particles of plastics in our water system here soon. And that is coming.
What if we have plastics, how do we get them out? And how much is it going to cost?
That's going to be the next step. Right now, I don't have, there is not a filtration way to get rid of them because the water is already in the piping and out coming to your house. So the plastics won't be coming from the raw water side. So our filtration, all our treatment process, it'll be post-treatment process is where this is happening. Because we just put in brand new pipes, I would say that our PFASs should be extremely low. But I have not got our results on the UCMR5s.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what chemicals they're finding, but I understand that the snow that just fell is full of plastic. If your water starts with plastic.
There's things that are going to be coming up, but I have stuff like this happen all the time here. I mean, we have reports, new things that we have to make pretty much monthly, seems like nowadays. So when it does come, I'll go ahead and report what's happening and how we're going to handle it.
Yeah, the article I sent you, I think, near the end said that, They're not sure what the impact is, but the smaller utility companies are very concerned about the cost.
And but we're in a better spot than most small utility companies, so I try not to work myself up about what ifs. right now.
Well, the processes are really expensive.
I'll bet.
We'll be worried about smoke, which is probably the
work on it when it comes to
the one, but
not over
achieved. No.
So that's hopefully
Tyler, here's a quick question. We have two sources of water, right? The CCWD, and is that surface water?
Yes, their water.
That's the one that's going to be more apt to have the stuff in it as opposed to the well water, which has been.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
There have been instances of groundwater with PFAS contamination, though. There have been wells that have been taken offline because filtration and treatment is so prohibitively expensive right now. That has been occurring in the Bay Area, but it's usually from a source of contamination.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually unknown. Yeah.
Up where we are, I would think that risk would be lower on that one. But
should be lower.
Even if it was in the CCWD water, it'd probably be our problem and not theirs, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be something we would probably still have to take care of. Yes, you're 100% right. But we did do studies years ago on the wells on our surface water influence. And according to what we have in our well 3, our main well, and well 2, there is little to no surface water influence. So that's good. We have nature helping us, natural filtration. So like I say, when the time comes, I'll address those issues and report back to the board with what we might need to do. But right now, it's still in the process of becoming a regulation and taking those steps that you mentioned.
Yeah, I guess just as we're thinking about in the future, whether we, you know, get more capacity from CCWD or we use our own well, I mean, maybe that should be part of the thought process. Not for discussion now, but just something else to add.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the beauty with our water system. We have options. We are not designated to only one option, as I know a few that are locally are. We have multiple options. So that's, we're in a very good state, I feel. And then the last thing we have for today is a correspondence for executive session. So we are going to need a motion to move to executive. Sorry.
Tyler, I had one question in the packet. Maybe Kathy can pull up the page.
Sure.
There's on page 8. I don't understand the sheet at all.
Oh, so this is our metered water key. This is after we do our meter reads, Kathy makes up this chart. She's been doing it for a little over a year now.
Yeah.
And it just represents how many of the shareholders are a very large user, how many are very little users. So there was, when you read this in like section 7, there were 188 shareholders that didn't use any water in the month of February.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was. So, but it shows a cubic feet of 700,000.
Yes.
That's like 5.5 million gallons. I didn't think we used that much in a month.
We typically use millions of gallons a month. I mean, we purchased, was it 1.8 million last month from CCWD? So, yeah, we do use substantial amount of water, but with everything patched up and not leaking the way it used to be, our usage has dropped dramatically, which you can see up a couple pages in my charts.
Yeah.
I believe we're on track to have our lowest year we've had in over 12 years.
Okay, just because I compared this number to what you showed as usage in February, and the numbers didn't jive, so that's...
Well, the usage that is on those charts is the main usage, so not house to house. So it is also including the amount of water that's in the pipes. And with the 100 plus miles of 6-inch pipe, it's quite a few gallons of water is just sitting in the system that I see on a different meter than what goes through a household meter. This chart here that you're seeing is only what goes into people's homes.
Sure.
So the charts above, the other usage charts, are from the main meters that we read daily.
And the water in the tank.
Yeah. And including the million plus gallons of water we have sitting in our tanks.
Yeah, but go up, Kathy, can you go to page 5?
Yeah.
Down at the bottom there, we show that the total water used is 2.8 million.
Production. So this is just what we pulled out of the well and what we got from CCWD. Is right. Not including all the water that was already in storage or in the pipes. So we
pumped. Yeah, but the water at the end of the month is still going to have about the same storage and the same amount in the pipe. So that's a push, the beginning of the period, the end of the period.
Yeah, I think for discussion purposes, I would just focus on what goes into the households.
Yeah, I'm just...
And not try to measure what's in the pipes because it gets... you don't have a hard number.
But, Tyler, you and I could talk later because those numbers should be about the same. And one's 2.8 million and one's 5.5 million. So they're not even close.
Okay, yeah, you and I can sit down and talk about them anytime you would like. What we're showing in the 2.8 on the total is just the total from January. The total at the end, that's showing the 5.5, that's the cumulative of January and February. And as the year goes on, that total will grow.
Okay, so the page 8 is January and February.
Page 8 is just the consumption with February of the households.
So when we do the meter reads, I separate out the meter reads. So if you look at section 1, we had 17 shareholders that used over 136,000 cubic feet, and 12 of those were leaks.
And is that just for February, or is that the billing cycle, which is January and February?
I separate monthly every month when we do the meter reads.
So if there's discrepancies in this, we can sit and talk about it, Dan. It's no problem. We'll work it out and get it figured out if there is something that's incorrect.
The most important bar on that graph is 5 and 6 that shows huge majority of the shareholders use less than 700 cubic feet. Right? And that's what we're looking towards. Those people that are in 5 and 6, that's where we want to see everybody that we possibly can. If you look at number one is using almost as much as number 6, which is, you know, the people that are using, those are the people that are really being economical with their water use, my opinion.
Yeah, no, I like the graph. It's a good graph. So,
yeah, those big guys are something.
Okay.
But if you take Danville and some of those huge properties in Danville, those people could care less if that water cost $1 a gallon. You know, they've got a 40,000 square foot lawn and they want it, and they're going to pick whatever water it picks. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think the impacts on it that we're not cognizant of, like up the hill for me is a Airbnb that sleeps 18 people. It is occupied 6 days out of 7 all year long. The how many showers and how many dishes are washed there, and how many places are put.
Yep. So, Dan.
With 2 children.
So, Dan, I want to circle back to your question. So, your question is, on this page, it shows 741,000 cubic feet, which is 5.5 million gallons, right? But then when we look at the other... the usage is not the same or similar.
It's like 2.8 million.
That is rather odd.
Let me look at it and see what it is. And then, Dan, if you could work with me on it, and we'll figure out what the discrepancy is, because I do see what you're saying.
Okay. And we read the meters every month?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sorry for the, I thought it was a simple question. Sorry for the long aside.
That's a good question.
I like it.
There's the answer. There was really
yeah, I like that.
I feel like actually something here is cumulative with January, like something didn't get reset.
I
think
yeah.
I think as well by looking at it now. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. By looking at it, it's a cum, it looks like.
Right.
But with moving forward with the meeting, if
sure.
We need to move to, somebody needs a motion to go to executive so we can talk about the shareholder letter.
Sorry, I'm in the wrong.
I'll make a motion we move to the executive session.
I'll second.
I need to drop off then. Thanks, okay. Guys.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you for all your work.
Yep.
Thank you for everything.
Bye.
Thanks, Craig.
Yep.
Tyler, I'll be in town next week. We'll touch base.
Yep. Nice. Yeah, and we can go over the contract.
Thank you. Wait, hang on. We just need to pause.
Right.
Pause the door.
Pause
the top.
What?
Thank you.
No,
that's the share.
I'll pause here.
Recording.
Okay, so we're back from our executive session. The next thing on the item is to adjourn. Next item.
Make a motion that we adjourn? Or do we have to have a motion to adjourn?
Need a motion to adjourn and we need a second.
I'll second.
Did Dan motion?
Yeah. I don't know who seconded it. I can't tell.
I did.
All right. Great. Thank you. All right. Do we vote on this?
I don't know what happens if the vote fails. I think we're stuck here.
I think we're stuck here. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for all your efforts and for being here today and asking such great questions, keeping us on the straight and narrow. So.
Yes, thank you for everything today. And we'll be in touch soon.
All right.
Thank you. All right,